Good morning, Boker Tov, Erev Shabbos. This is a very peculiar conclusion to a beautiful parsha, Parshas Tetzaveh. The conclusion is very perplexing, and that's what we need to analyze and think about this morning. If you look on page one, this is the end of Perek Chaf Tes, transitioning over to Pasuk Lamed, Perek Lamed. And what you have is a summary on the top of the page of the avoda, of the service in the Mishkan that was the inauguration, what we call the Meluim, of the initial offerings that began, that kicked off the avoda, Avodas HaKarbanos, in the Mishkan. The concluding phrase here in Perek Chavtes Pasuk Mem Hei, V'shachanti b'soch b'nei Yisrael v'hayisi lahem le'elokim. I will dwell among the Jewish people and I will be for them for a God. V'yadu ki ani Hashem elokeihem. They will know that I'm their God. Asher otzeisi osam me'eretz Mitzrayim l'shochni b'socham ani Hashem Elokecha. How does that sound?
Well, I think we would have known it without this.
Good. So why is the Torah putting it here? What is the words V'shachanti B'soch B'nei Yisrael and then L'shachni B'socham remind us of? The Mishkan, but specifically, what verse in last week's parsha at the outset? That's right. We started this journey. This story began with a charge. Va'asuli mikdash v'shachanti besocham. Make for me a sanctuary, and I will dwell among them. So this is the capstone. This is the bookend, and the Jewish people are told, "I will." V'shachanti b'soch b'nei Yisrael. Right? This is the...
So we did what we were supposed to.
Well, we're going to do it in Parshas Vayakha Pekudi, but it's saying, once we did this, we're done. And the reference is clearly a lashon, a textual reference. It's reiterating the words v'shachanti. As Michael said, initially we were told, do this and I will dwell. And then we are told, when we finish all of this, we will dwell. Right? It actually is a perfect parallel. Is good?
Yeah. Okay.
Is that a good way to finish? It's a very noble and inspirational vision of Hashem dwelling in the Mishkan, which is the whole purpose, according to the Ramban. The whole purpose of the Mishkan is to return us to the status of being the chariot for our Shekhinah, our HaKadosh Baruch Hu, our God in this world, like the Avos were. This is it. Good? What would you expect is going to come next?
Precious Vayakha, start making it.
Start making it. Okay. Historically, we know that was derailed slightly by the intervening parsha of Parshas Kisisa. What is the major theme of Parshas Kisisa? The Chet HaEgel, the sin of the golden calf. There's also in Parshas Kisisa another appeal. So I would have expected right at this point, if they need to make an appeal for the Adonim, this is a good time to do it. Or if they need to make an appeal for the Karbanos, this is a good time to do it. Or if we want to tell the story of the Chet HaEgel, this is a good time. Because we're done, right? Yeah. We just said V'shachanti.
Yeah.
So what do we get next? Perek Lamed. B'chavot.
This is the Kohanim's work.
So we have a specific coda. A shocking, surprising end to the parsha. What does it say? V'asisa mizbeach miktar ketores. You should build another altar, another mizbeach, and we are seriously scratching our heads. What are you talking about? We just finished. We just finished everything. The divine presence is resting here. We got the instructions. We were told the vessels, the garments, the service. That's it. That was Terumah Tetzaveh, Gamarnu. By the way, also make a second Mizbeach. What we call the Mizbeach HaPnimi, the inner Mizbeach or the Mizbeach HaZav. Super bizarre. Where would you have expected this parsha to be? For sure not in after Truma. We're done. Where?
In Truma.
Why would you have expected it in Parsha's Truma? That's right. Parsha's Tetzaveh is about the clothing, the uniform of the Kohen and the Kohen Gadol, and it's about the specific korbanos that were offered in the inauguration, the Meluim. Truma is where the furniture is described, the Kalim. What's it doing here? So all the Mefarshim are bent out of shape about this. This is a very obvious, glaring, unique situation. So what does the Rebbeinu Shlomo want us to understand from this? What's the Torah trying to convey to us? There is another interesting, very interesting aspect of the Mizbeach HaKetores. The next page, the Gemara in Zvachim and Daf Nun Tes, tells us, in the name of Rav Gidol Amar Rav, Mizbeach Shenekar Maktirin Ktores Bimakomo. What do the words mean? Mizbeach, the altar, Shene'ekar. That was, uprooted. That's right, uprooted. Maktirin Ktores Bimakomo.
You can still do the incense wherever it is.
That's right. You offer the incense in its place. Excuse me, sorry.
Where it was.
Right. Where it should be.
You could do it even when it's not there.
Mm-hmm. So where was the inner Mizbeach? Where was the Mizbeach?
Was it near the menorah?
Okay, it was near the menorah. It was inside the...
Kodesh.
Right.
No, Kodesh.
Right.
Yeah.
So imagine we are looking west at the entrance of the Ulam, with the Pesach Ol Moed, you look in, and you are, imagine you could look straight through. So if you're looking straight through, you see the Aron in the middle, straight ahead, which is in the Kodesh Kadosh behind the curtain, but the Pad Baruch Hashem, just leave that for a second, straight in. To your right, Tzafon, is the Shulchan. To your left is the Menorah. And dead center is the Mizbeach HaPnimi, the Mizbeach HaKetores. It's parallel to the Aron. One side is Shulchan, the other side is Menorah. This is why when a person davens, the Gemara has an observation, Harotze Sheyachkim Yadrim. If you want to tap in to the Ribbono Shel Olam's gift of wisdom, you yadrim doesn't mean you face totally south. It means you tilt yourself facing south. And if you want to pursue the blessing of financial security, of sustenance, of parnasa, so you turn
north.
Slightly north. Yatspin. Why? Because that's where the shulchan was. And the shulchan represents the bread, the daily bread, the physical needs. So the Mizbeach HaZav was right in the middle, and the Chiddush of this Gemara, in the context of this Gemara, is discussing what happens. It's a discussion of what happens when you don't have the outside Mizbeach, which is where you offer the animals. What happens if the outside Mizbeach is damaged? It has to be perfectly
straight,
and there's an interesting Gemara that discusses that when the Mizbeach was nicked, it's disqualified. So that's the context of this Gemara. But the halacha is very interesting. You can offer the ketores, the incense, which is the primary offering on this Mizbeach HaPnimi, this inner gold altar. You can offer it without the altar. You can put the incense on the floor, in that spot, right in the middle. Which is interesting, because the Gemara is contrasting that with the outer altar. You can't light a menorah without a menorah. You have to have a menorah. You can't pile up bread without a shulchan. You have to have a shulchan. But you can offer incense without the mizbeach hapnimi, which is interesting. It's pretty surprising. So you could say it's a quirk in Kachim. It's one of the laws, and there are a lot of laws that are unique to the world of Kachim. But perhaps this law tells us something. It indicates something about the nature of the Mizbeach, and specifically the Avodas HaKtoris. Once a year, there was blood put on that inner Mizbeach on Yom Kippurim, but day in, day out, this altar was used specifically for burning incense, for Ketores. So why is it that this is at the end of Parshas Tetzaveh, and why is it that the altar is not so essential? It seems as though the Ketores is the main thing, and the altar, if you have it, great. If you don't have it, okay, what are you going
to
do?
I mean, that if that's the real halacha that we're trying to learn out of, that's why come at the end, because
okay. Oh, so I saw, beautiful, thank you. So I saw in the Mayona Shel Torah, Mayona Shel Torah is a likud, it's a compendium of little Torah insights, beautiful. It was published before the war by a man by the name of Alexander Zusha Friedman. Hashem Yitkom Dom V'Zchus Yagen Aleinu. He was a very prominent author and literary religious figure who was the spokesperson for the Aguda in the Warsaw Ghetto. He was a very prominent Jewish leader in the ghetto before he was killed by the Germans. So he published Mayona Shel Torah. So one of the Mayona Shel Torahs, which is where I found this Gemara, makes that connection that obviously it's different because it's not the Mizbeach itself is not Ma'akiv. So I'm trying to figure out, well, what's the deeper meaning of that? That some the rest of the furniture you need, but this one, if you don't have it, it sounds like the process is more important than the piece.
Why do you need to consider not having the piece, as you call it? I mean, why is that even a consideration, not having the piece?
Great. So do you know that there is a very significant historical period in which this was Lamaisa? This was practical. What was that? Chanukah. What happened the Second Temple period? The Gemara says they actually had to reconstruct a new altar because it had been defiled. So the Gemara has to set down rules. What happens in the interim? How does the Beis HaMikdash function when you have to refurbish it? When you have to put in a new Mizbeach? When you have to put in a new, the various Kalim? If they become tame or they become nifgam, broken or take it away.
So this is the one altar that does not need to be, that you can function without.
Exactly. And we're trying to figure out why. What's the significance of that?
We learned the halacha that it's not required because of the placement in the Torah of this how did the Rabbanim come to say that it wasn't?
It's a good question. So the Gemara here doesn't quote a Mar Malkum, although we probably could look in the Rambam to see. I didn't see when I looked up this Gemara that you have in front of you. I didn't see a Tzushtel. It doesn't seem that generally the way that the Gemara derives things, it would not derive a law just merely from the fact that it's isolated, but those two, I think, and that's what the Ha'ara and the Mayona Shel Torah is, that those two may be related. And that's what we want to suggest an idea today. That this, perhaps, although it's not rooted halakhically in the placement, it's definitely conceptually related. So if we take a step back and you say, well, what is the process that's happening here that's so important? It can go on without the piece. So that is the Ketores. The Ketores, we know, is an extremely important and potent avoda. It's an important service. It's actually such an important service that it plays, you could argue, an outsized role, a huge role, maybe you could even argue disproportionate. I'll give you two examples. The first one is on source number 3. Yeah, what's this? Nadav and Avihu. You could tell me this is coincidental, but I would offer that this is not coincidental at all. Nadav and Avihu, they're so enthusiastic to perform the service, the avoda, in the Beis Hamikdash. At that time, it was in the Mishkan. The first day, Vahi Bayom Hashmini. What do they offer?
Well, it says an alien fire, but we don't know what that is.
Well, look at what the pasuk says.
In the second line of the Hebrew.
Vayasimu aleha.
Ketores.
Ketores.
The English translates it as.
Right? They put fire in them.
It's the English translation.
Go back before that. What does it mean in author?
Placed incense on.
That's it. So the avoda, the service that they were trying to do, that they were performing, was not the avoda of the Mizbeach HaChitzon, because that also has a fire. That's the Eish Tamid where they offer the animal sacrifices, the meal sacrifices. That's not what they did. And you could tell me, oh, it's just a fluke. But no, obviously they understood that there's something incredibly potent, something special. Now, for whatever reason they did this, which is not our topic today, this is what they were interested in. This is what they were focused on. And here's another. What? Oh, we're going to get to Korach in a second. Beautiful. Thank you. Perfect transition. What is that? Can you tell us what you're referencing?
That was the test that Moshe sets out for Korach and his band. Each one will bring their own incense and their fire pen and see who's fire Hashem.
Okay. They had to choose one service. What was it? What was the throwdown? The Ketores. The Halakha Ketores. And then, unfortunately, Lo Aleinu, there was a plague.
And Aaron was.
And how did Aaron stop the plague?
With the Ketores.
That's right. Says the Gemara, Shabbos Peites. Look at the next page, number 4. Moshe Rabbeinu appears before God to receive the Torah. What happens? What do the angels say? Get lost. They say in a nice way. But they basically say, get lost. The Torah is ours. So they have a back and forth. Moshe Rabbeinu, he vanquishes them in a debate, so to speak. And you know what happens? Each of the angels gives him a gift. A parting gift, says the Gemara. Miyad kol echad ve'echad nasa lo'oi v'mosa lo'davar. Each angel, after they had been bested, they realized they lost, they gave Moshe Rabbeinu a gift. So, what would you give Moshe Rabbeinu if you were the Malach HaMavis, the angel of death? I'm not sure what kind of gift. I don't know what he has in his bag. You got it. That's exactly what he has. Says the Gemara, Malach HaMavis Mosar Lo Dovar. The Malach HaMavis gave him something in the underline. Shene'emar Vayitin Es HaKtores. He gave him the Ktores. Vayechaper Ala'am V'omer. And it says, Vayamor Ben HaMesim Uvein HaChayim. Aaron stood between the living and the dead, between those in this world and this in the other world. Where did that come from? It came from the Malach HaMavis himself at Har Sinai. So this is amazing. Ketores has such an incredible koach. I can understand in a certain respect how the power of the Ketores itself transcends the power or the role of the Mizbeach HaKetores. It has the capacity to stop death. It's the elixir of life, so to speak. So the Ketores is incredibly important, and now this gives greater significance to the Mizbeach HaKetores. So perhaps there are three ways of looking at, I'm sure there are many more, we'll present three ways of looking at this challenge of understanding the placement of the Mizbeach at the end of the parasha. So the first one you see is Rav Hirsch. Says the Heiliger of Shimshon Rafal Hirsch, of course he's sensitive to this problem. So if you notice, here in the middle, he gives you the spatial organization of the Aron, Shulchan, Menorah, and the Mizbech HaZahav. And he says, look, I told you already, don't you remember, you learned all of Parshas Truma with my commentary, I already told you that each of these pieces of furniture, kiviyachol, each of these kalim, vessels in the Beis HaMikdash, represents something. It has a specific meaning. He suggests that what the purpose of the Torah identifying this separately is that it has a totally different meaning. Take a look. Let's go to this position. Somebody want to read? Right after the Hebrew words.
Right. Go ahead. This position makes one regarded as representing and the realization of the ideal taught by the Torah in the combination of the material and the spiritual blessings granted by the Torah. The Aron gives a shulchan and a menorah so that both together can be joined to be used again in the Mizbeach HaZahav for the objects of the Aron.
Okay, keep going.
The meaning of the
forecourt meaning that what's the purpose, says Rav Hirsch, of the outer Mizbeach, of all the things that happen outside? Go ahead.
Reaches its zenith in the consistently recurring expression Asherech Nihoach Lashem. The summit of the Azara
is the Maracha, which is the fire on which everything goes. That everything earthly and material.
That everything earthly and material is to be so purified and dedicated up to upward efforts that it becomes fuel for keeping godliness alive on earth and gives satisfaction to God above.
So that's the outer altar. The outer sacrifices are meant to demonstrate and to express that everything earthly and material is going to be purified in the service of Hashem. That's on the outside. So, however, but, skip down three lines, third to last word on the line, but, go ahead.
The Jewish ideal is that solid, pure, golden stage without the gross...
Without dross, without any impurities.
Yes, which does not still require the purifying sacrifice and surrender, which already has the whole earthly material existence so permeated with the godly that without any residue whatsoever from it, it is
through and through.
Yes, through and through.
Nichoach Lashem.
Right.
It is this ideal
that the Ketores al Mizbeach HaZahav serves to express.
Perfect. So first says, look, you have a higher level, not just using all of the material goods in the service of God, but actually taking it to a level where the purification process is complete. So you take the purity of the Aron, which represents the ideal of the Torah, which is so holy, so deep, so spiritual that it's behind a curtain eternally. You only get there once a year with the Kohen Gadol. That's going to shine through between the Shulchan and the Menorah, and it's going to be captured in the experience of the Ketores on the Mizbeach HaZav. So it represents a parallel to the outside. The outside is a Mizbeach that purifies the worldly life, and the inner Mizbeach represents the achievement of the actual perfection of the spiritual endeavors. Says Rav Hirsch, that's why this portion is at the end. Because this portion is not so much about another vessel as a means to, This portion represents the goal that we are living a totally purified spiritual Zahav life. That's the goal.
So if this is meant to be on the outside.
What is meant to be on the outside?
The incense.
The incense is meant to be on the inside of the sanctuary. The incense is on the inside.
Inside the sanctuary, but outside of the pathway.
Right, outside of the Kodesh Kodashim.
Right.
Not in the Aron, because the Aron is inaccessible, right. But it's the concept of the purity of the Aron taken out into the world, but maintaining its spiritual purity, as opposed to the outer altar, which is further out. That outer altar is where the growth is happening, the purification is happening. So you're kind of moving.
Where is the incense now? On the outer?
Nope. The incense is still on the inner altar.
Okay.
So the inner altar represents this ideal level, as opposed to the outer altar where the animals are brought. So there's the outer altar and the inner altar. But the inner altar is not totally inner. It's not actually inside the Aron. It's mediating. The Aron is this source of the holiness. So now we understand, he says, why the inner altar is not part of the list of Kalim. It's not part of the list of vessels. All of the list of vessels are to accomplish something, to enable us to offer sacrifices on the outer altar to purify ourselves, or the Aron, which is to give us the light, or the light of the Torah, or the Shulchan to represent the physical through which that light is being channeled. But ultimately, says Rav Hirsch, the expression of pure godliness in this world is through the Mizbeach Hazav, the golden altar. That's his suggestion. And that's why it's on the outside.
I'm still trying to.
So let me draw it for you for a second.
No. I'm still trying to figure out why one can still, without that altar, still make the sacrifice.
Oh, so that doesn't... Right, so that's not the approach that he's emphasizing at all. We're going to come back to that in a second.
Okay.
This is issue number one. And so...
Based on what he says, though, when the Shulchan Menorah then have to be in front of the Mizbeach HaZahav?
So, if you look at it... Good question. If you look at it from the back, they are. Because if you're drawing the spirit, the ruchnius, from the Aron, you're coming from west to east. When we walk in to the Beis HaMikdash, when we walk into the Heichal, we're walking in from the east. He's looking at it that in this case, the spirituality, the Torah is coming from the west. So that's why it's coming from the west. If you look at the diagram, from the Aron, if you flip it around, the Aron is in the west, through the Shulchan the Menorah to the Mizbeach Hazav. This is Rav Hirsch's suggestion. That's one suggestion. A second suggestion appears in the Sforno, right here. He has a different suggestion, which we're going to couple together with the Ramban, who came much before him, but they have a similar idea. And he says, look, remember, all of these other vessels, all of the other aspects, the elements of the Mishkan, they had a purpose, they had a function. The function was to somehow, in some way, bring the Shechina of HaKadosh Baruch Hu down to rest in this world. So they were vehicles. He says, the Mizbeach HaKtoris, the Ktoris, is not a vehicle. It's different. He says it's also not to bring down the vision of God, like the Karbanos. He says, rather, Aval Haya Inyan Zeh HaMizbeach L'Chabed Es HaKel Yizbarach. This is just in the honor of God. Acharei bo lekabel b'rotzen avodas amo b'korbanos haboker v'harev. After we do the service of the sacrifice of the morning and the evening, u'l'shachar panav b'minchas k'toris
Al derech havel Hashem kavod shmo su mincha v'on fanav. It's just an offering. It's just a gift. It's different. That's the suggestion of the Sforno. Now, how he knows this, I'm not sure. But that's the idea. Unlike the other vessels that are vehicles, this is not a vehicle. This is just an expression of honor. And similar to this, although different, take a look on the next page. The Ramban he says, take a look at the top of the second column of the Ramban on the left-hand side, fourth line down. He says, I don't understand. In Parshas Vayakel, this appears with the rest of the vessels. It's all the way at the end. I don't understand. What's the answer? He says, because after everything was finished, and Hashem, the pasuk we read earlier, said, V'niktash b'chvodi v'shachadi b'soch b'nei Yisrael, Omar, he said, O Yischayev lohem, they are obligated, she'yasu mizbeach miktar k'tores, lahaktir l'kavod Hashem. To offer something just in the honor of Hashem. Sounds very similar to the Sforno, but then he diverges, and he goes on to explain how somehow, on a deep level, probably based on Kabbalah that I don't understand, I can't grasp, this Mizbeach relates to what he calls the Midas Hadin, the side of judgment, probably going back to the notion that it stands up even to the Malach HaMavis. Those are before we're connected. That's what he quotes the Gemara that we mentioned, that it stops Magefas. Generally speaking, if you look in the beginning of Parshas Vayikra, Karbonos relate to, the sacrifices relate to Midas HaRachamim, which is why the name Yud and Hey and Vav and Hey appears throughout Sefer Vayikra. It's a connection of transcendence, of compassion, mercy, connection. He says, this is different. This relates to the Midas Hadin. So that's beyond my understanding of what these deep mystical concepts mean. But the shorish of this is that it's categorically different. It's for the kavod of Hashem, similar to the Sforno. So number one for Rav Hirsch is, oh, you know why it's separated? It's different because it's not a vehicle for something else. Rather, it is the realization, the fulfillment of the avoda. The Sforno says, no, different. The Ramban says, no, different. It's not a vehicle. Rather, it's not a fulfillment. It's a kavod for Hashem. Two different options, qualitative differences between this Mizbeach and all the other altars. But maybe there's a different shot. I never noticed this until this year. I came across a small line, a drop of ink from the Shemi Shmuel. Shemi Shmuel was Rav Shmuel Borenstein, the Halakhah Sachachav Rebbe, the beginning of the 20th century. His father was the Sachachav Rebbe known as the Avnei Nezer, Rav Avram Borenstein. So Sachachav has a throwaway line that totally opened my eyes. He says, look at the word ketores. That Hebrew word actually is related to an Aramaic word. What does katir mean in Aramaic? It means to knot, to tie. The Gemara has an expression, minol v'katir b'misna. You have something that's locked and tied up. Kitra, the Gemara says in Shabbos, you have a cloth that has a knot in it. The word ketores means, he says, kesher in Hebrew. Ketores means kesher. I said, ah, if that's the pshat, it all makes sense. What is the greatest koach in the world? It's the koach of a kesher. Explain to you what I mean. Take a look at this Gemara in Chagiga. The Gemara says in Chav Zayin, the last Gemara Masechta Chagiga, Amarei Shlokish, Ein or shall Gehenem sholetes beposhe Yisrael. The fire of Gehenem is not sholet, it does not grasp or reach or touch the sinners of Israel. I'm on page 8. One back, that's creases. Why? Why is that? How is that? Eich zeh shayach? Isn't that the whole thing of Gehenna? It says the or doesn't reach them. Kal v'chomer, it's a proof, mimizbach hazav, from the golden altar. Ma mizbach hazav, she'ein olav ela ka'ovi dinar zav, kamashanim, just like the golden altar has only a thin cap, a thin layer of gold, and ein or sholetis bo, the fire. Could you imagine? You have a little gold pan and you burn a fire on it perpetually, and it's never damaged, it's never affected. Poshe Yisrael, the sinners of Israel, shemalein mitzvos kerimon, they are filled with mitzvos like rimon, like a pomegranate, as it says, kefelach rimon rakaseich, and that's rakaseich. It's ein rakaseich ala rekaseich, those who are empty of you, ala rekaren shabach, alachas kama v'kama. Of course, if the fire doesn't damage or affect at all the metal, gold surface, the thin metal surface of the Mizbeach Azov, of course it's not going to affect the sinners of Israel.
Isn't that one of the miracles that we could say that I mean, how do you bring a rack of miracle, the smoke went straight?
What's the Gemara talking about? What's the Gemara talking about? Sinners and the altar, that it doesn't get affected by the fire. Why are sinners? It's such an interesting thing, no? But it's not. Because if you look at the next page, the Gemara in Croesus has a very specific focus on sinners. Reb Chana Bar Bizna, in the name of Shimon B'Chasida, told us the following. You ready? Kol Tainis, any fast, which is a response to a tragedy, to a crisis, Shein Bami Poshi Yisrael, that doesn't have from the sinners of Israel, Poshim. By the way, Poshim are not Chutim. Chutim are people who make mistakes. You know, Beshogig, they weren't careful. Poshim are people who deliberately, wantonly violate. If you have a gathering to come back to Hashem Yisbarach in a time of crisis and you don't bring sinners, ain't a tainus. It's not a valid gathering. It's not a fast. How do you know that? Shahari Chelbana, one of the 11 ingredients of the Ketores, is called Chelbana. Recha Ra, it had a foul odor. Umenah, Kosovim Samamone Ketores. And yet, the Torah includes it in the list of the Ketores. So what do you learn from this? When it comes to the spices, the incense, you must include the foul-smelling ingredient. You must include foul-smelling Jews spiritually. You must include sinners. You can't have. You know what it says? If you lack one of the 11 ingredients, chisar achas mikol samanel chayav misa. It's capital crime.
Is that why we say Yom Kippur also? We could battle with our...
So it's interesting, there are, in Machon Tzomet years ago, had a fascinating article from Dr. Moshe Ranan identifying what is the Chelbana according to different Rishonim. Some say that it's Golbanum, others say, ready for this one, Ferula Rubricalius. Just saying. But why do they get into all this shtickel Torah over here? There's actually a difference in the Rishonim understanding what's the story with this Chelbana. Is it the pshat that we learn that we need to be able to tolerate people in our community who are not up to our standards and we need to include them? That's one approach in the Rishonim. But a different approach in the Rishonim appears that even though, he quotes the Drasha Saran, even though the Chelbana alone didn't have a good odor, maybe what could it have the ability to do? To enhance someone else's fragrance. Whichever pshat you're going to say, we're learning from here that all Jews are one people. There is a koach, there is a power, a potency of all Jews coming together. All Jews, including Poshim. Rav Schechter, my Rebbe in YU, he used to bemoan the fact that growing up in their shul, his father was a rabbi, Rav Melech Schechter, Zichrono Levracha, was a rabbi near Philadelphia, this Philadelphia suburb. And Rav Schechter says he remembers as a kid when the Kohanim would go up to Duchen on Yontif, he said he could hear the change jingling in their pocket because they were going to go to work afterwards. He says, it's sad that we don't have that anymore, that those people don't come to our shul. That's the chisaron of Tana She'ein Bami Poshe Yisrael. We're not suggesting that it's okay to work on Shabbos or Yontif. But what we're saying is that when we are coming to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we need to come as one people. We need to include the Chelbana, which may be foul-smelling, but in the context of everything, the Ketores smell beautiful, and it may even enhance other people. Some Darshanim used to say, yeah, that's why there are 11, because you can't count the Chelbana for the Minyan. Okay, so maybe you can't count the Chelbana in the Minyan. You need 10 guys and then the Chelbana, but you still need the Chelbana. It doesn't mean that the Ribbono Shel Olam doesn't have expectations for us. And it doesn't mean that we don't have to set standards and create an aspirational level for ourselves. But what it does mean is that the Poshi Yisrael need to have a seat at the table. They need to be part of the discussion. And the capacity to include Poshi Yisrael is incredibly potent. That kesher, the ktores means the kesher. The kesher of what? Of all Jews, of the aguda achas, of all Jews coming together, that can trump the malach hamavis. That can stave off a magefa. And in that respect, the process, the ktoris, is more important than any keli and any vessel. The ability to bring people together, to have a kesher among all Jews. That's one perspective. That's Bein Adam L'Chaveru. That's a horizontal kesher. And then, of course, there's the vertical kesher. Says the Pasuk earlier in Parshas Yisro, page 10, Perek Yutes Pasuk Tetzayin Vayi Bayom HaShlishi, was on the third day in the morning, what were their kolus who brought him? V'anon Kaved al Hahar. Where was HaKadosh Baruch Hu found? He was found in a cloud. In a tangible place in this world that's you could point to it and say, in there is God, whatever that means, is the presence of the Tzimtzum, of the presence of the Shekhinah. He's coming down to be connected to us. He's descending from the heavens to connect with us, to have a kesher with us. So how does he appear? He appears in the cloud. What is the incense? What is the incense? Cloud. That's right. It's male oshon. It's to create a cloud. And that's why the Pasuk says in 11, on page 11, in the Avodas Yom HaKippurim, where does the Shekhinah appear? It appears ki be'anon eroi alaka poris. God will bring his presence in a cloud. Yes, the presence is on the aron, it's bein akruvim, but it comes down to connect to us through an anon. An anon is important because an anon, you can't see right through it. You can't see God. You can't perceive it with your earthly eyes. But you feel that presence. You know that he's there. He's building a kesher with us. The purpose of the Mizbeach Hazav is to enable us to offer the Ketores. It's not about the gold box. It's about the Kesher in the cloud that is created. So even, guess what? If you don't have the altar, you could still create the cloud. You could still have that Kesher. It's an unbroken connection. It's the Avoso Sa'ava that Hashem says, you know what? I love you so much that even when things are bad, when you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing and the Malach HaMavis has the right to go after you, I'm going to give you a secret to break even the Malach HaMavis' spell. And that's our unbroken Kesher. It's the Kesher of the Ketores. Now I understand why the Mizbeach Hazav, the Mizbeach HaKetores, is totally separate. In addition to the Mahalchim of Rav Hirsch and the Sforno with the Ramban, it's an idea that the Ketores represents a Kesher. And that Kesher, that Avoda, inherently has the capacity to transcend everything else. The Koach of the Kesher on two levels. The connection between us and other Jews. When all Jews get together, Yisrael, V'yoraisu v'kutshabrichu chadu, we are a reflection of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, no Malach HaMavis can touch us. But we could find a way to be together with the Poshim. Find some way to be together. Figure it out. Be like the Ketores. And of course, not just vis-a-vis others, our connection to Hashem. It's the ability to transcend all of the barriers, all of the difficulties, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm going to come down to you. I'll meet you where you are, on Har Sinai, in the Mishkan, in your lives. That comes from the cloud, that comes through or inside the cloud. The presence of Hashem, that's going to be actualized through the Ketores. In that respect, it actually makes perfect sense why, after the Chumash concludes everything with V'shachanti b'soch b'nei Yisrael, Hashem says, you build a Mishkan, you wear the uniforms, you do the Meluim, I will rest with you, and therefore what do you need? You need a Mizbeach Hazav so you can have a Ketores, because that's where you'll feel my Kesher. You'll feel my presence in the incense. That's where I will meet you. That's where you will actually have that Kesher. And you should know, it's not enough to think you're going to have a Kesher with me without having to have a Kesher with each other. Right? That's why it's fascinating to me. Where did the Gemara learn that there's no Or of Gehenim on the Rishayim? From the Mizbeach Hazav. Because the Mizbeach Hazav, the Ketores, that's the symbol of the unbroken relationship. Even the Malach HaMavis, with his pitchfork and his furnace in Gehenim, he can't touch us if we have the Ketores. And that's the connection between the sinners not being scorched in hell, the Gehenim, with the Mizbeach HaKetores. Otherwise, why did he choose Mizbeach HaKetores? There are lots of miracles. It's because the Mizbeach HaKetores represents our ability to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even if we're sinners. Even if I am the Poshea, even if I'm from the Poshe Yisrael, I don't lose hope. Because I also will be included in the Ketores. I also will have that place to be able to stave off the Malach HaMavis. I just need to connect to others, to be connected to part of Klal Yisrael, and to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's waiting. We just need to realize that in ourselves.